When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode 16. Of the Rex Chapman Show with super cool Josh Hopkins.
That's me.
Episode 16.
Who's your 16? Who you got?
I'm gonna go Peja Stojakovic.
Oh, okay. Bob Lanier.
Bob Lanier, well done. Well played. Mm-hmm.
Joe Montana.
The actor, Joe Montana?
Yes, he was 16 when he played roller hockey in sixth grade.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. No, the Joe Montana, the quarterback. Oh, yeah.
Quarterballer.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're already 16.
We are.
Oh, I got to show you something.
What is it, buddy?
So I'm in Lexington, and you're not this time, which is weird. But so I went to our good buddy JoJo Palumbo's house to record this because his beautiful wife, Jen, is, you know, a newscaster and had a good setup and everything. But people don't know how if they're not from Lexington, how beloved Rex is here. This was on their wall. Got two Charlotte jerseys, signed Rex Chapman poster. Look at the light. Look at that.
Look at that kid.
Look at all that hair.
Look at the world is his oyster.
Wow. So that's just on the wall. People, you know, he's a legend here. He might have a statue one day. Your beloved Rex Chapman.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. That's weird. You know who we have today? Somebody I'm excited to get to.
That.
One of the first guys I played against, if not the first guy that I played against that I went, this one's a little different. And we had some great battles dating back to college and played against each other in the NBA forever. And I just love him to death. It's my SEC homeboy, our SEC homeboy, Vernon Maxwell. Mad.
Yeah, I can remember him and Andrew Moten in Florida. That was a backcourt right there. I mean, I was young and I just remember, like, those are two men, grown men playing in college.
Yeah, Ed Davender and I were supposed to be the best backcourt in the country. But we had those two guys, the M&M boys down in Gainesville, that at least two of the four times we played them, they got us. And Ed was no joke. Ed could guard anybody. Anyway, let's get to Vernon Maxwell. You want to?
Okay, we don't have much time. Let's just run into book club real quick. But we got to do it quick this time.
Traveling,
okay? So
traveling what, last week.
Right, yeah.
Playoff games. The Nets are out. Out of it. Great game set right. The other night.
Unbelievable basketball.
Heartbreaker for the Nets. Congrats to the Bucks. The Phoenix Suns are rolling.
Mm-hmm.
They're rolling. And we just
Devin's made a statement.
He
won't miss an all-star game now that people are getting to see him.
And I think this sends a clear message to all GMs in the league. If you come on the show, you're likely to win the executive of the year. We had James on 5-6 episodes ago. Boom, executive of the year.
Yep, and he told us what he did to build that squad. I mean, some these execs should watch it.
He said
a little different angle.
We said, hey, do you have the pieces in place? And this is when the Lakers are still in it. This is when everybody's still in it. He said, I think we do. They went down the roster, and right now, they're scary. But anyway, been traveling. Ball games, haven't read anything this week. Didn't get to anything. You?
Yeah, I didn't either. That's been book club.
All right, let's get to Vernon Maxwell.
That's Rex. What's up, everybody? What's going on, Rex, man? Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for coming on. I've been wanting to have you on. Josh and I were talking before this, and he said, you know, I'm glad we're having Vernon on. He said, because I bet in at least, you know, 10 of these episodes that we've done, he said, you brought Vernon's name up.
And when I thought about it, you know, like, yeah, because we'll get into it a little bit. But
right.
The first time I saw you, you know, I was at Kentucky.
Of course, yeah.
And you had already played a couple years at Florida. So, you know, I had been watching you. But you were really, and I'd played against, you know, the McDonald's game and, you
of
know,
course, yeah.
high schoolers and stuff like that and against some good players. But you were the first guy that I played against that I went, oh, shit. He's as big as me. You know, he's fast. He jumps.
I ain't jump as high.
No.
I can't take that. No. You the first. When I seen you fly, I said, damn, I ain't no white boys can fly like this.
I'd played against older guys before, and I'd played against guys in the SEC and in college before I played against you. But you were the first guy that I went, man, if he keeps getting better and I keep getting better, I don't know if I ever be as good as Vernon.
No.
And I really did. And the other thing that, and I'll let Josh talk here in a second. The other thing that I find fascinating, especially today, let's think back. Go back and everything that like I was getting praised for in college, I was getting in trouble. You know, I was.
We all was.
But mine was getting swept under the rug. And so all of that, no, for real. And because there's no way if you look at our body of work, you go back and look at our SEC stats, you know, average right around 20, you know, your stats are probably better than mine. No way in the same draft I can go 8 and you can go 47. In today's world, the stuff that you were getting in trouble for
wouldn't have been right. I agree.
Anyway,
you
good,
man? I'm great, man. I appreciate all that love, man, you just gave me, man. That's some real serious love, man. You know, you're my boy, though. I mean, for real, you know, I love you. You're my boy, man. I appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot, man.
You got it.
I just want to watch you guys go
because I mean it, Vernon, because inevitably we're talking to someone and we're like, who'd you hate to face? Who did you think was really tough? Who did you hate seeing every night? And Rex will be like, well, Vernon Maxwell. He'll be the first one he says. He's just like, he was just so tough on me, just so strong and so fast. And so I'm really happy to have you here because I like it when people shut Rex up. So
I don't think I can. That was one of my guys, man. That's one of my guys. I respect the rest too, Rex too, a lot too, because I mean, I'm being for real, man. I mean, a white boy never ever really went at me, you know, like that. And when I then Rex, I say, well, damn, they was talking about him in the film room. I know him. When I was in college, I never really like Coach Sloan, God bless the dead. I mean, he used to talk about players that I'm going to be guarding and players I'm going to be. I mean, I never really, like, paid attention. And then I was like, well, damn. This shit is real. What he did, Coach Sloan was saying, this motherfucker, he does go at you. He will come back at you. And he does play like a black. I mean, he's like, Vernon, I don't think not because he's white. Now he's going to come back. I'm like, God damn, now, Coach, hold up. Now, I'm looking at this shit he doing, what Rex doing. He dunked. Oh, okay, damn, he bouncy. I'm like, okay. So I said, I got to get myself ready for this Saturday because we on CBS. but Rex, man, yeah, man, I respect the game so much, man. You know that, man.
Man, I do. It's crazy hearing you talk about that. But you really did teach me that I had to be dirtier because you know, as a freshman, I didn't know how to guard at all. I was lucky that we had Eddie D.
Right. God bless.
That could guard you that year.
Right.
I knew I had to get better. And you remember we got in a collision. You remember that? We played on national TV, I think.
I
got a steal. I got a steal, and Vernon was the only one back.
Yeah.
And I kind of dipped and you dipped.
Yeah.
And it knocked me out.
Yeah.
Hit a couple of my teeth. I had to go in. You got stitches. And then I had to go in and get my mouth tended to. Burns never missed a second. They banged him up. He'd been playing for 5 minutes while I was in the locker room.
Yeah, put this shit on my head. Let's go.
That's how you know it's a real collision when you hit and then all of a sudden you.
Yeah, that's in my mouth.
Yeah, you chipped.
Because you know he was coming. You know he was coming hard. You know he was so athletic. He was coming hard. You know he was. And I was standing. I was like, I don't know if I think I was kind of moving too. And then we just like, and I moved, and we moved in the same direction. Bam! It was like a car collision. Bam.
Yeah,
and
that's it was real lucky too. The summer between my freshman year and Vernon's junior year and senior year, we roomed together out in Colorado Springs.
Oh, Lord, we can't talk
about that. I'll tell you who it was. Me, Eddie D.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Vernon and Rod Strickland.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good one, right?
We don't want to talk about group. That.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one on the other podcast.
Yeah, that's the other podcast. That's uncensored.
Oh, God.
Yeah, man. Good God.
Hey, Vern.
Oh, man.
Growing up, you born and raised in Gainesville?
Yep, Gainesville, Florida.
What age did you know you were faster than everybody? I mean, it had to be like age 5 or 3.
Yeah, I was fast. Like, I played football. And I thought I was going to be a football player, first of all. But then I was so scared out there on the damn football field. People ain't know I was scared as hell out there playing football. You know,
I was the same way.
I was scared. So I was so scared out there on the damn football field. So I was just running for my damn life. And that's what I said, well, damn, I'm out running these guys. They got angles on me. And I'm out running them. And then when I started playing basketball, then I knew I was fast because people threw the ball out in front of me. I just chased the ball down. But I was so quick, my first step and everything. And I worked on my first step so much. But then, I mean, it was so fast at one point I was out of control with it. And then I had to kind of get it back in control when I was in high school. And that's when I learned how to utilize my first step and a jump shot and all this other stuff. So be physical because I was a football player first. And that's why everybody say I was 6'4", you know, we 6'4", but I had a strong body. I was always strong. I prided myself on being stronger than the player I'm playing against and faster than the player I was playing against. So that's what that's what it was about.
I saw that. Weren't you a defensive back?
Yeah. I can't imagine you at strong safety.
Yeah, I mean, that's
that like running a lot. I mean, had
really
to be.
Scary. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bet you could have played
NFL.
Yeah, I was 6'4". Yeah, I thought I should have probably played. I wish I could have tested the waters. You know what I mean? Because I know I could have played. If I'd have trained, if I wouldn't have played basketball, I knew I'd have been an NFL ball player. I know that for sure because I felt like I was just as equal as good on the football field as I was on the basketball court. I mean, my senior year, I had 16 interceptions. And I mean, I was first team All-State in the state of Florida. Now, that's what, you know, all these guys coming out, Mike Irvin, all these other guys coming out too, you know, so. I mean, I'm a defensive back just like them. I mean, I felt I loved that was my first love football. So, yeah.
Can you imagine you were scared on the football field? Can you imagine what a guy like me would be out there with you? I mean, I would be tiptoeing like, coach, I'm hurt.
No, but see, this is back in the day when I first started playing. Everybody always put me at quarterback. When I first started playing football, because I was the most athletic player on the team, I can run and I can throw it. You know, they always want to put me at quarterback. So that's what I played my whole career up until I got to my junior year in high school. I was a quarterback. And I was like, shit, I got to my junior year. I was like, oh, hold on now. I got to slow down because I had to pump my brakes because I know that's what in the hell I wasn't going to do at college. Because I was thinking I was going to go to college for basketball and I wanted to play in the NBA. And so I stopped playing my junior year and then I went and played my senior year. That's when I had the 16 interceptions. And that's when Florida and Auburn and all these other places, and Georgia and all these people started calling me about football. I'm like, man, I mean, I go to some schools. I visit 5 out of my 6 schools I visit. 5 of them, I went two sports. I went one day I went basketball, and the next day I went football. And yeah, so that's how
crazy.
It was for me.
That's crazy, but it's funny that you say that now because he really was like Lamar Jackson, really and truly. I mean, tall and just elusive. And I can see you had to, it's funny to hear you say, you know, you had to dial your first step back. You know, most people are, you know, just doing everything they can to get it. And that's just amazing. I was talking with Josh a little earlier. I don't know if you did you work at your body, Vernon, in high school and college? Did you work at it?
Well, I started lifting weights at a young age. And then somebody told me I needed to stop because I was lifting at 13. And then but I was so skinny. You know, I graduated out of high school at 145. You know what I mean? I was 6'3", 145. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and that's how small I was. So, and then I got to Florida and then I got over there. But I was strong. I was always strong. I always had the 6-pack. Yeah, I had the 8-pack back then. I still got the 6-pack right now. And, you know, I mean, I always had a strong body. But I worked on it hard, though, especially when I got to Florida, because I was 145. And then maybe 3-4 months later, I gained like 20 pounds. Okay. You know what I mean? And that's when everybody started noticing the difference. Oh boy, you got, you know, that's when I took off from there. We're in college, when I was a freshman, because I was getting pushed around when I first got there. Because you got to understand, I had Andrew Moten there, and then I had another guy, Darryl Gresham, was there before me. Darryl Gresham, both of those guys was second. I mean, they was first team all SEC. Well, one of them was first team, one of them was second team, and they was in the backcourt. So, and Darryl Gresham, we played the same position. So I had to go against him, and I was like, shit. And then for me to beat him, I'd make him lead the school. You know, it was a shit. I had some work to do, man. Shit.
I get it.
I had some work to do.
I get it. Yeah, you know, I wonder, did you guys ever, Davender and I, we were considered to be the best backcourt, remember, in the country. Dickie V loved us, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He loved y'all, but mm-hmm. he would always kind of give the nod to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got a couple of my homeboys that say, no, the Eminem boys were better than y'all. They were better than y'all. Did you guys hear that at all?
Yeah, we heard it. We heard it all. You know, we listened at it. We heard it, and we used to talk about it all the time. And, but you know, we always say, well, I know y'all say the same thing. No, man, you see how when we go against them, we say, and then Andrew, you know, that one, I know that's probably who you was guarding.
Yeah.
And he talked more than me.
Oh, yeah.
That one, he was crazy. He was OD crazy. That mother, he talked just as much as me. You know, me and Ed, we were so cool.
Y'all were cool.
You know, we was just too cool. God bless. We used to just go at each other.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
they did. They had a friendly game. And it was kind of like Vern and I in the NBA.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We were friendly. Yes. While we were going at each other.
Right, each other.
You know, we knew when the play was for the other one. And, you know, hey.
Right.
Time to guard, we play.
Okay. Yes, right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, right. I was just happy to see me and my man in the league getting that bread. And yeah. I mean, it's both our dreams. So it was just, then for me to play against him again up there on that level, I was just happy. I mean, because I know he was getting a lot of shit going at him. Because, you know, when you see a white boy in the NBA playing at the shooting guard position, your ass better be ready. And he be ready. But I know he was ready. I used to check it out all the time, you know, because I wanted to see what he was doing when we first went in there. And I used to check him out. I used to look at him all the time and see, okay, okay, my boy ready. Okay, I like it. Okay, Rex. Okay, okay. That's what I like. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so that's my man, man.
Real quick, I want to tell you, you share a birthday with Barry White.
Right.
Andrew Luck. Yeah. Jennifer Hudson. Paul Walker, yeah. RIP.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I say Jesse Owens? That's really cool.
Wow, wow.
And sexy actor, really a podcaster now, Josh Hopkins. Birthday, September
Josh.
12th.
Yeah, you're 12.
Yeah, we're cool.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well,
great day.
Hey, that's why we're so successful. You see all them people, you say it. That's why we're so successful, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's already written in the stars, man.
Hey, man. Hey, it's already there, man. Hey,
you know,
man,
how I know that you are a bad, cool, that you are a cool motherfucker? You know how
you say that, Jai? I like that
because
shit when you're talking.
You made the name Vernon cool.
Okay.
That's not easy. People think Vernon, they think it's like you made it cool.
That's right.
I was in junior high school, watching you guys play, and Vernon Maxwell's like, that is cool. I had a Vernon in school that was not cool. And
why he was like cool? But damn, Josh, why he wasn't cool? Shit.
What
did he do to you?
He wasn't born on September 12th.
Okay, that's what it was then.
You made burning cool. That is awesome.
Because of September the 12th.
Yes.
That's what it is. Okay, that's what I'm talking about, my brother. Oh, you're my brother from another mother.
Yeah, I like it already.
That's right, Josh. That's right. Well. That's right, brother. That's right. Don't you forget it either.
You know,
when you first stepped on the court with Rex, and you had seen that he was, you know, was there anything that still surprised you about him besides he'd go at you? I mean, was there
I never played against a white guy, you know, so athletic, you know what I mean? I mean, it's off the charts athletic, man. I mean, I never have played against a guy like that. I mean, can handle it, get to the cup and was trying. I mean, I just never played against that. I'd never seen it, you know what I mean? And back in them days, I mean, it was hard to find a white boy playing the shooting guard position, man. I mean, and that was a rarity if you think about
right,
it.
Right, right.
I mean, so you had to be a dog now, Josh. And that's what I was like, well, damn. And then when I played against him, I was like, damn, this shit's for real. The first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, shit. Let's go, V.
It's funny to hear you say that. It really is. But I don't know if you felt the same. I was talking about this the other day. Somebody was asking me. I fared better guarding more athletic players or equally athletic players than I did guarding like Jeff Hornacek or Steve Kerr. That
Reggie Miller.
Yeah. That were not,
goodness.
You know, that were fundamental and just
Drazen Petrovic.
I didn't know how to do it. You know, Vernon, I didn't know how to shoot a pump fake till I got to the NBA. I just jumped.
That's crazy. Yeah, you just
and so I had to learn to actually manufacture shot fake.
Damn. You didn't know how to shoot.
No, I didn't know how to
play. So that's why every time you come off the screen, you just raise it. You just jump. He's a jump so damn high when you come off that screen. He just sweet. I'd be like, well, damn. And I'd be like, what the hell? I'm like, man, this shit is crazy, man. I mean, I was like, I was like, damn, he. No, okay. Now I understand.
Hey,
well, I used to come off the screens ready to shoot. You come out ready to shoot.
Yeah, ready. There was going back. I was committed.
Right. That's right.
Hey, Vernon, was there a guy in the league? You played how many years? 12, 13,
13
years? You played a long
13,
time.
13.
Was there a guy or guys that got to play this guy tonight? Like that continuing, like you were just like, here we go. You knew you had to be ready for somebody that you were.
Whew. Yes, man. So Drazen Petrovic.
there you go.
Shit, Reggie Miller. Michael Jordan. Mitch Richmond.
Mitch.
I can just go on and on. Clyde Drexler. What else? Who else you want to know? Oh, man. There's everybody. At the two-guard position
Glenn
every
Bryce.
Night. I mean, Glenn Rice.
Yeah,
I mean, man, come on, man. Every night at the two-guard position, man. Ron Harper. I'm trying to tell you, it was hard. It was hell on wheels.
These guys were me and you didn't
hold
up.
And No, these guys posted up. They was man. So they were bigger.
You were getting
They were bigger than us, man. I'm talking about they were bigger and I mean, shit. I mean, they were 6'6". Ron Harper 6'6". Michael Jordan 6'7". Ron Harper, Mike Jordan 6'6". I mean, Mitch Richmond out there, and he loved to stay on the block. Mitch Richmond.
Damn.
I thought I was like, damn, homeboy. When you start staying, what the hell are you doing? What the fuck are you on? We're going to wrestle out here for 48 minutes? What the hell is this?
Not hey, Vernon, did you know him? Did you know him
before
the NBA?
Yes, yes. We played against each other and all that stuff. And then when we come out of high school, it was me and him. He was one up for Mr. Basketball. They named me Mr. Basketball.
I never heard of him until the draft.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Whoa, my goodness, man. Because you know why? He went over there to way up there to what you call him, Kansas State. Kansas State.
I just missed them. Yeah. They weren't on TV.
I know they weren't on TV yet, but I did. I played against them down there. And then, you know, back in the day, we used to play in this, back in the day in Florida, we get the top 10 players in the state of Florida. Whoever they say the top 10 players is, and they'll come down, we'll go to Ocala, Florida.
I forgot it was Florida.
Yeah, that's right. From Fort Lauderdale, and we'll go out. We're going to small gym in Ocala, Florida, and they get the top 10 of us, and then we'll go one on one.
That's great.
I mean, if you lose, you done. You done. And me and him end up going at each other one on one at the end. I end up beating him. But you know, it's hard to guard a motherfucker like me one on one back at them. I ain't what with 145 pounds, motherfucker. I ain't what with 145 pounds. I mean, you can't, and then they ain't give you a number like 10 dribbles and shit like that. Yeah. You can't dribble the apple. He couldn't just back me down the whole damn. So I mean,
you imagine you in today's game.
Oh my goodness, man. Oh my goodness. Just add 10 more points on to what I have.
Yeah, can't touch you. Can't
put man. Oh my goodness. Just put me. I tell a damn coach, just don't put me in until they get four fouls. When they get four fouls, put me in the motherfucker when they're in the penalty. Goddamn, I'm gonna get to the line. I lived it. I'll stay there. These motherfuckers shoot 12 feet though, 10 feet though. I'd be like hard now. I stay in the line. I get a beat. I downhill all the time. I'd be Giannis out there. Fuck the jumper.
When you guys play, I think that the strongest position in the league was the two guard. I mean,
that was.
And now I would argue it's probably point guard.
Well, yeah, in the league now. Yeah, right now point guards, but back then it was centers and shooting guards back then.
Yeah,
because we had some awesome centers back in that days. Back in the 80s, late 80s, and 90s.
Those two guards could also be receivers too. Man, those guys. Yeah,
any of us.
Under.
Yeah.
6'6".
Yeah.
Who are world class?
I mean, for real, man.
Did you run track?
I did on the only time I ran track is against like the local high schools where motherfuckers was talking shit about this guy here cannot run me. And then I go out there, I go tell a track coach, I'm running today. And the motherfucker said, okay, Master, we need you. Suit up, we're gonna lose. I ain't give a damn we lose the track meet. I just want to beat this man here in the 100 and the 200. I want to beat this motherfucker in the 100 and the 200. Cause these motherfuckers talking about all over Gainesville, this man faster, man. The track packed, all the track is filled up with number country folks. And down in Gainesville, everybody's throwing money around. I just want to see us two go at it. The 100 and the 200. So that's the only time I ran track.
You won?
Oh, of course. Come on, man. I ain't a lot of shit I lost that night. I'm going to tell you the truth. Right.
We got to get into your Twitter and your Utah beef.
Oh, yeah.
It is really funny. How'd that start?
Well, them motherfuckers, they abused me out there. Them old rednecks. Them rednecks folks, I'm sorry. Man,
all right,
them rednecks people out there, they abuse me, talk about my mama, talk about my grandma, talk about my stillborns, talk about my, they talk about me, they call me out by my name, they call me the N-word. I mean, you see what they did to John Morant and his mom and dad, you know what I mean? So, and I keep telling these people, they've been doing this for a long time, man. This ain't something like this, this shit's new. I said this shit a long time ago. That's the worst state in the country. Well, I don't, is they in the, they in our country?
They in our country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Utah. Okay, I'm just by the route. I know I know that, man. But but Utah, man. I just don't deal with them. I just, it's something, you know. I mean, I'm gonna have my first All Star party out there at the All Star game next year. So y'all come out and hang out with me.
I'm know what I'm hopeful for, because we all played all over and we know what everybody's fans are like in every city we go to.
Right, right.
We played for that long. Right. What I'm hopeful for is that new ownership group, D Wade, has gone in there and part of it. And,
right.
You know, all we can hope for is that everybody starts getting better, you know.
How
difficult things have been over the last few years. Oh,
of course. Yeah.
Heightened senses now. I'm hopeful that you know, we're all gonna come out better in the long run. Right?
Of course, yeah. Well, I and that's a good point what you said, and that's why I was happy that Dwayne Wade, you know, took part ownership in that. You know what I mean? Because I mean, he's a black man, and I'm sure he heard it and he's seen it and what was going on and what goes on out there in Utah when he was a player. But I think that's a good gesture. I mean, what you said, but I mean, and I think Dwayne Wade is going to straighten it up and handle his business and hold people accountable.
I think
people so. In the, cause I don't think the whole fan base out there is bad. I love their fans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, they have some of the best fans out there in Utah, but it's just it's a couple of them bad apples in there. I mean, they just make it bad for the whole city, man. And I just wanted to say that too. But you know, I mean, I don't think Utah's a bad place. You know what I mean? I mean, I ain't spent enough time out there. You know, so I mean, and then when I was out there, but they ain't had the internet though. When I was out there though, the internet was fucked up when I was out there. It was, I mean, it really was. I mean, I couldn't do nothing out there.
You know what you're going to have to do though? You're going to have to start going there a few times a year.
Yeah.
When you take this, analyst job with the Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I want to do, Rex. I mean, come on, man. I could talk. I don't have to curse. I don't have to, you know, I know how to talk if I have to talk, Rex. Come on, Rex. You know us, man. All this podcast thing, man, I love it, man. Cause it's a platform where I get to speak and say what I want to say. And I love being able to do that, man. And I appreciate y'all having me on here, but I love doing this, man. So shit, this is all in fun, man, to me. I mean, I'm telling the damn truth. I mean, when I'm speaking on it, shit, it is what it is. I love, I mean, this is a platform. I mean, I love it.
So many people now can't or afraid because of the culture right now to speak their mind. So people love it when guys do it and aren't afraid, you know, just to say their mind. That's, you know, one reason people love Charles Barkley.
Right.
No, because he just says it.
He just said right out the dome.
Respect for it. So yeah, that'd be great to have, you know, your voice out there, because you're not scared to say what's on your mind for sure.
No, damn right, Josh. You know that. I'm gonna say what I gotta say.
It is. And you know what? We had I was talking with Bonzi recently.
My guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he and Rashid have a podcast. Rashid Wallace. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to them and was like, you know, all that jailblazer stuff and, you know, the little weed incidents and all that stuff that you guys were in trouble for back then. If y'all had a podcast, y'all had a voice. You would have had a voice. If you'd had a voice, you know, as a younger person, you would have been on 47th in the second round.
Right.
You would have known. No, hey,
what the hell was really going on? What really happened? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. What they done. Right. Right.
Right.
That's thank you, Rex. That's right.
Right.
I mean, I appreciate it, man. That's real. I mean, that's everything. Like you said, I mean, this is a platform for these kids if you use it in the right direction. I mean, it's to get out and say what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And say what I mean, because
you were all spoken for someone right. was always speaking for you.
Right,
you
know, right. That's what that's the thing 18, about.
19,
right.
I was
right.
uncomfortable speaking. I would mess up anything.
Right.
It was so ID or the newspaper was writing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Plus, so
you know, a different time. These kids come in because they see the games every day and the interviews. They become more press ready coming out of high school. Even they do interviews in high school.
They train them now before they come out and teach them how to be in front of the camera and stuff like that. So that's what they do. But that's a good thing though. I mean, because you don't want no kid. You don't want no kid up there like they just stole the camera in our face. Never ever said. When they did me, like I was like, "Oh,
what is this?
Am I really on live TV?
Right?
Y'all gonna put this shit on the news for real? That's what I was like.
Sometimes they would interview a guy and they'd be like, "So, how'd you feel about the second half?" He'd be like, "Good."
Yeah. Right. Because that's the only thing he knows. Yeah. Say you ask, I answer your question. You asked me a question, I answered it. Good.
I played good. Yeah.
Do you remember what the guy, the fan said? I think it was in Portland. You went to the stands.
Yeah,
he was talking about. Do you remember what he said to you?
Yeah, I will never forget it. He's talking about my stillborn daughter. Fuck that bitch. Fuck that whore. All that stuff. And then they had stopped him from saying that about her. And then me and him got into it verbally. And then he was just like, "Well, fuck you then, Maxwell." And I was like, "Motherfucker, fuck you." I was like telling the security guard, "Hey man, you need to go up there and handle that, man." So the security guard looked at me and tell me, "Hey Max, man paid his money for that ticket, man. He could say pretty much." I said, "Okay, well, cool then. That's the way this shit gonna roll then. I likes this shit. And then I got a guy on the bench trying to grab me and tell me to chill out. And I'm telling this motherfucker, "Man, get your motherfucking hands off me." You know, I ain't saying who the name was, but I'm like, "Get your fucking hands off, motherfucker. You gonna say something to this motherfucker then with me. Motherfucker, you come up this motherfucker with me because I'm getting ready to take off." God damn it. I say, "Well, God damn it," I just got up slowly. I mean, you see, I got up calmly. I ain't run up there. I just walked up there.
I saw the video.
And just walked up there and said, "What the fuck you said?" And when it opened up, bah! And there it was. Yeah.
I should have
slapped a couple more motherfuckers up there.
Can you imagine being that idiot drunk guy being like saying whatever he wants and then being like, you see you get up and walking up there, he'd be like,
"Yeah, but then they froze." They freeze up because they see how big you be. Like you are this motherfucker chisel. He ready to do something to me, but they won't say that shit on the street. You know, that's what I was trying to explain Scooby. I was telling like, "Hey, these people won't say this shit out to like us professional guys." Like,
no.
Like, "Oh, fuck that bitch, fuck that whore." Talking about my stillborn daughter, wouldn't say that in the street.
Ooh,
because you know what
that
I mean.
That guy said that to you. The guy you went up and
Good
for you. That guy needed to be taught a lesson. Yeah. And you're right.
Well, I really ain't get him like I wanted to.
However, you got him. You didn't get him like I wanted you to.
Okay, thank you, my brother Rex. That's right, Rex, my brother. That's right. Yeah, that's right, man. Yeah, man. It was a bad night that night.
I hate that you had to go through that, man. I'm gonna switch gears for a second. I don't know if you know this about. You played with Steve Nash for a brief period.
Of course. Yeah. That's my guy.
Have I ever told you this story or has anybody ever told you a story about Steve tells about you?
Oh, Lord. It's got to be funny.
It's a really good one. I'm telling you. So
that's my guy.
Yeah. So Steve was there and he had just signed a big deal. And you had at this point, I think you may have been there even like on a 10 day or something. You know, you were.
They came and they bought me and they signed me up for the rest of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, Steve was playing. He wasn't playing well. He's kind of, you know, still partying and eating up. Coy and pudgy. And
yeah,
he said that all the media was around him after the game. Nelly, Don Nelson had been telling him what a shitty player he was and all that.
Nelly gonna do that.
and said that he looked over at you and you were taking your shirt off and you didn't even play in the game, and said you were just ripped, you know, just chiseled. I knew where it was going when he said it, and said he looked at you, and at that moment he decided that, look,
wow,
I'm never going to be one of these type athletes. He said, but he said, in that moment, I decided I got to make myself as lean as I can be. I got to cut out all the food and all the
right.
From that moment on, he really did. He changed everything. He told me this. This was
the summer.
We were still playing. And he said, no, I saw
her. I didn't even know that.
But I saw him. And, you know, he looked taller. He's
now
our eyes. He just So he credits you with that. I want.
Okay, Steve. I'm all right, Steve. My guy, Steve. I need some tickets when I come to Brooklyn. I want to sit on the front row like Beyonce and them. Beyonce, Jay Z, all that shit. I want to sit on the front row, Steve, like Beyonce and them and Jay Z.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm sure that can be arranged.
Yes, sir.
The other thing I want to hit on is because I go back, we came out the same year. You're a couple of
years
ahead, but
yeah.
Same NBA year. Mm-hmm. And around 95, 96, you're finding your rhythm, right? And, you know, I was in Phoenix, I think, around this time. And y'all were really good in Houston.
Yeah.
And Clyde came in, as lots been made of it. Clyde came
quit, right? Yeah.
And a lot of people I talk to, they're like, well, you know, his pride got in the way and this and that. Well, and look, I love Clyde.
Like
nobody, you know, other than
Mike. No doubt.
But right around that time, Clyde had, for us, and, you know, because when we came we had to catch up.
We had to catch up to them. Yeah, him and Mike and all these guys. Yeah, we had to catch up.
But right around that time, I say, I don't know if it was pride, because right around that time, I looked forward to playing against Clyde because he could shape
him. All he got to do is put his head leg, and go right.
So at that time, I was, you know, of course, look, we're never going to be mentioned with Clyde Drexler.
Right, never ever.
But at that time, I wonder how much of that was going on in your mind.
Right.
What was it?
Well, I just knew what well, really what happened was, Rex, with that, I was coming off of a suspension, a 10-game suspension from out in Portland right before the playoffs that getting ready to start too. And then I came back and from when I went up in the stands.
Okay.
And smacked the guy.
Right.
And then, so I was coming off the suspension. And then, so they didn't even call me. They didn't even talk to me. The whole, like, you know, a 10-game suspension, that's a month.
Right.
You know, that's like a whole month of missing, you know, of a season, of the season. And they just left me out there high and dry. Nobody called me. Nobody said nothing to me. Not nobody from the organization, Rudy T. Nobody. They didn't send nobody out to work me out, to help me. I mean, okay, we got this other gym set up for you and the trainer, Vernon, go over and get some shots up. Nothing. They did nothing. They just left me out there high and dry. And then they brought Clyde in while I was suspended. Nobody ever called me and mentioned anything. They was going to do that. I just felt disrespected.
Yeah.
And then we get in the playoffs, and then we play in Utah, and goddamn Utah come up again. We play in Utah, and then goddamn, and Rudy T, he played me a couple of minutes, and then maybe about 5 minutes or so, and really didn't give me a real good fair chance, and because he had Clyde, and then at the end of the game, I've been sitting over there the whole fucking game. And this motherfucker, Rudy T. Nah, Rudy T, you know I love you. Let me rephrase that. Rudy T, you know I was mad, Rudy T, when you did that shit.
Of course.
Rudy T got there, drew up a play. I'm sitting over there on the bench. They have them hold 43 minutes. He drew up a play, talking about, all right, Max, we're going to bring you off the screen. And how you got there, how to, We're going to knock the head off Maskman. Got Maskman to come in and win the goddamn game for us. Just, y'all set good screens for him. He'll knock it down. I'm like, this motherfucker, man, I'm so mad at this motherfucker. I ain't trying to, man, I was so heated, man. I think, oh, man, I had a good look at it too, Rex. I swear, I probably could have. I wasn't, my mental state was so fucked up, man. I was so, just, oh, my
you know what goodness. It is, though. It's just putting you in the ultimate position to
yes, fail. Yes, man. The yeah, fail. Yeah. Fail, yeah. It did
not lose yeah. you, not anything.
Oh, my goodness, my oh, and then we went in the locker room. I went the fuck off.
I
lost it in the locker room. Everybody looking at me like, motherfucker. I lost it in that motherfucker. And then I ain't ride the bus back with the motherfuckers to the hotel. That was game one. You know, we had to go back to the hotel, and I called a goddamn cab back to the damn hotel. I went by my damn self. Well, I think maybe Sam jumped in there with me because Sam was like, ain't want me to be by myself because he knew how I felt. Yeah, Sam self. He knew how I felt. And, you know, that was my young boy. So he was like, man, come on, man, I'm with you, man. I was like, man, I don't want to be around none of you motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Because it's like everybody like forgot what I had done, you know, because the city wouldn't have had a championship the first time. I mean, I ain't trying to say I did it.
No, oh, shit. Speaking of
I mean, yeah, I could, I'm just saying, but shit. No, if Vernon Maxwell don't go out there and do what he do in game three in Phoenix, shit. I mean, when we were down 0-2, I mean, shit, we go down 0-3. Shit. And agreed. We the series is over. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all I'm saying. I just don't want motherfuckers just to, they forgot about what the fuck.
Nah,
you know, who it, really contributed.
But I just didn't like as we sit here and talk about this, my heart hurts for you. It does burn because, you know, I know a lot of the Utah stuff is fun and games, but I can tell because do you feel like that incident had, if not for that and being suspended, maybe they don't go get Clyde, you know, I don't know. Do you ever think that?
Well, I mean, he was looking to be traded too at the time.
Right.
And then,
and it was,
you know, and then the city of Houston loved Clyde, you know, Five Slamma Jamma and Dream. And I'm pretty much sure, you know, they went to Dream. I'm sure they had to go to Dream and Dream had to say, okay. And, you know, and they, So, I mean, but I already knew what it was. And,
okay.
But I mean, it's just the way you handle shit. You know what I mean? For a motherfucker, blood, sweat, and tears, which for 9 years. And then you just, you know what I mean? And I mean, you just, I mean, it's my pay year too, you know? So, so it was just, that's what it was. That's the bulk of the story.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What about the, speaking of locker room altercations, didn't you get into it with Gary Payton once? Like
we was on the floor at we was in Seattle, and he had did something to my young boy Shamon Williams. He busted his mouth open. I mean for no reason, because me and Shamon Williams going at him and Brent Berry at the time. Brent was a two, and I was a two. And Shamon was the one, and Gary was the one. We was going at him. The second team, we were going at the ass. And then he just bust my man mouth open, and I didn't like it. And I just bust his shit up. And then it led him to the damn weight room. Like, the weight room is connected to the locker room in Seattle and their practice facility. So it kind of led into that shit, to the weight room shit. And then his boy, Chuck Person, that was his boy. My boy was Horace Grant. And so Horace was walking with me, and Chuck Purfson, whatever his damn name, he was walking. Yeah, he was walking with Gary. So we came back. They was like, Max, you need to leave the facility. Like, I ain't leaving no fucking facility. I'm going to go in that motherfucker. I'm going to wash my ass and get in this motherfucking goddamn hot tub like I do every goddamn day before I leave out of here, and take care of my body and shower, and then I'm gonna get the fuck up out of here. And then, so they thought I had left because they had told me to leave. But me and Horace, we was around the corner talking, and I came back, and then me and this nigga, we bumped heads again. Me and Gary, we end up seeing each other again in the before the weight room, you walk into the locker room. And then that's when I tried to get him again. I tried to smack him again. And then, but Chuck Person got in the way. But I grabbed a little 10 pound of, I think it was 5 pound dumbbell. I tried to bust him upside his goddamn head and I missed him. I hit my man Horace Grant on his damn shoulder. Goddamn Horace, you know I'm sorry about that, boy. You know I love you. Goddamn, boy, you know you're my peoples, boy. Goddamn, we gotta get together and get a drink. But I missed around and hit my man on the damn shoulder. He had to miss some games. My hood, they looked at me like I was crazy. And that, but long story short, Gary, I had signed a 3-year, $9 million deal. I didn't get but damn $3 million out of my deal, damn, pretty much because Gary Payton told the damn people he didn't want to play with no more shit. So, and you know, he's a franchise guy, so they're gonna get with. Yeah, man, he fucked up a bunch of money. That's why I really want to jump on his ass when I see him.
Damn, you know, we were just, I swear Josh and I were just talking about this. He was talking about, did Vern talk a lot of shit on the court? I said, you know, he could, I guess, but not if nobody was talking to you.
Talking to, so, right.
So I was like, no, but I felt like Gary,
yes,
I took your personality, and because he was so he was a point guard. He was our size, but he was a point guard, and we were
right.
Two.
Right.
And you know, Gary was great, but he kind of, you were kind of known as kind of that
mad talk.
He became kind of known for it. And you didn't really talk that much. I mean, you could.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah. Right. 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 Of course, you got it right. But that's that fake shit. that's what that fake shit. What he adopted from the media and all that shit. The glove and all that. That fake. That motherfucker. Man.
I want a podcast with you and Gary.
I won't do it too.
Tell him
I want to do it too. Okay. He probably wouldn't come on with me. Man, tell him, man, I ain't going to fucking be arguing with him about that shit out there in Seattle. Uh-uh. I know that's what they're going to say. Man, I don't want to talk about that shit, man. But we really need to.
Have your own podcast together. Mm-hmm. Your own podcast together.
Yes, that's
shit, you guys need a reality show.
That's right.
That's what.
Need some cameras. Just need some damn cameras in the room, huh?
Leave you two locked in the house together.
Oh Lord, that'll be some good shit.
That would be. Let me ask you this, Vernon.
I fuck with Gary. Gary's my guy, man. I fuck with Gary. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
You obviously walked it and talked it. You talked it and then you walked it, and you were talking about some fake stuff and whatever. Who's your all walk it, talk it, and walk it team? Like, who's your, who you like, when you went at them, you knew, all right, it's on.
Mike.
Who?
Matt Oakley, Charles Oakley.
Oh, yeah.
shit. Derek Harper.
Really? I didn't know that about Derek.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to one of your first teammates.
Alvin Robertson.
Alvin Robertson.
Yeah, that's one too. And Mason, Anthony Mason.
Yeah. Mason.
God bless it there. God bless it.
Yeah.
That
was a scary team when all of them played. They had some fools on that team. Now, I mean, you gotta go to the bench too. They had AB over there, Anthony Bonner. I mean, they had some crazy folks over there. I'm for real. John Starks. Come on, man. They had a bunch of guys over there. I mean, just go hard. And Charles Smith. I mean, everybody thought he was crazy too. All of them. They had a bunch of crazy motherfuckers on that team. They had a squad over there.
It was cool that it was New York too, because that's the city. You know,
that's the way the city is. Yeah, the blueprint.
Because they had the personality.
Blue collar workers. Blue collar workers.
Yeah. We didn't even mention Patrick. People don't
know. Oh, man.
That. I mean, I'm trying to tell you. Patrick was.
Man, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm talking about the ringleader. The ringleader. That
you.
Shit.
Patrick will hit you. You know.
Yes, the ringleader.
That's dirty. Shit. But,
nah, but you're going to know. Yeah. Okay, you got another color jersey, motherfucker. You can't be coming through here. Can't be coming down through here like that, nah. Shit. Yeah, if I was something else.
Who do you like to watch in today's game? Who are you a fan of? Who would you pay to watch?
Man, I like Harden. I like Durant. I like LeBron. I like Ja Morant. I like Donovan Mitchell. I like Trey Young. I like Steph Curry, Embiid. There's so many. Man, I'm sorry, guys. I'm missing Dame. Some guys.
What do you think about Dame Lillard?
Oh yeah, y'all love him. I love him. I love. Oh man, so many of these guys. I mean, a lot of these point guards.
Who reminds you of you back then? Anybody? Zach LaVine's a crazy athlete, jumping and all that.
Yeah,
he runs you were so fast.
Yeah, he runs. Yeah, but he reminds me of you though. He reminds me of you. The way he plays though, nah, for real. The way that motherfucker shoot that J and come off them screens, just the body don't be facing the basket, and he hang up there so long in the air. By the time he squares his body up and be knocking that shit down, I'd be like, damn, this motherfucker. I mean, he jumped. Just, I mean, he reminds me of you. But me, I think, I don't know. I don't know, man. Patrick Beverly, but I score better than him.
Who?
Patrick Beverly, but I score better than him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
That's a good one. Yeah, you guys, he doesn't back down anybody.
Yeah, but he's always talking to somebody. Yeah. He's fucking with somebody out there and trying to get up under somebody's skin I just scored better than him though. I was a better scorer than him.
No question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite movie?
Wow, man. My favorite movie. Oh, man, you know, I mean, you talking about recently?
No.
Are you talking about just, anytime.
You can name a couple. I know it's hard. There's apples and oranges in that. So if you can name a couple.
I mean, shucks, man. My favorite movie, man. Oh, man. I never forget, like, Color Purple was one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one for me because I.
Good one.
I mean, that's that was. And.
I didn't I see like, that for a long time.
And I like Saw.
Saw movie?
Saw 1.
Oh, okay.
Come on, the original.
Yeah, the original. All these other songs. I can look at 30 minutes. I got to turn off. It's too commercial now. But the first song, that shit was, oh, Lord, that shit had me scared. I had to cut that shit off a couple of times.
What about you could see any concert or any speaker or anything, front row center, your front row center for anyone and dead or alive?
Martin Luther King.
Well done.
What about a concert? What about a musical group? Anybody dead or alive?
Oh man, musical. Oh man, like I gotta go up my guy, man. Mike, man. Okay. Michael Jackson. God bless you, Mike. That's my guy. Yeah.
Man, Vern, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it,
man,
bro.
Man. We gotta catch up.
More often.
Yeah, we definitely gotta do it.
Come through. And your son is at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, foot broke his foot. Yeah, he's back. He's ready to rock and roll.
I watched some video of him. He's really good. He does. Yes. Is he fast? He's not fast. Like
he's not. Nah, he's he.
But he's good.
He reminds me of a Darren Williams type player.
Yeah.
He played like a Darren Williams. That's what he did. And shoot it real well.
Yep.
Well, passes very it. High IQ, real high IQ. Yep. So. You'll see him. He'll do well at Georgia Tech this year.
Good. And then, bro, I know you want to get into some broadcasting, some TV,
definitely,
stuff. And
yes, sir.
I'm I'm saying this right now. We're going to put this out so the Rockets can come
appreciate
calling.
You. Appreciate you, my brother. Appreciate you, my brother.
Calling because you got
thank
a few
you, man.
Minutes, all right.
No, thanks, man. I appreciate that a lot, man. And thanks for having me on, man. And like I say, this platform, man, I love to use. And and I'm with my boy, too, old Rex, man. So that's love, man. You know that, brother. I know that's love. Hey, Josh, you too. Hey,
hey,
you're my brother from another mother, man, because we got the same birthday, brother. Don't you forget that.
I never will, bro.
All right,
I never
brother.
Will.
Okay, Josh.
And I'm telling you, it's been your name. It's not hyperbole. You've been brought up 8-10 times, and we've only done 16 pods. Well, Rex always says Vernon Maxwell.
Well, you know what, Josh? The only thing I want to tell you, Rex, about that, I'm mad that y'all had me. I'm the 16th motherfucker. Y'all had me. On this. I should have been in the top five. God damn, we all had me.
Hey,
16.
You're in the first round now. You're in the okay. You can't in the lottery.
I just missed the lottery. I'm in the first. I'm the 16th. All right, I'm gonna see. I take that.
All right,
hey man, I appreciate much y'all, love, man. Bro. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
All right, love, man. All right. Thanks,
Josh. That's Vernon.
Yes, he is not scared. When you say that's Vernon, that is Vernon.
It should do pay-per-view. Just do all the ball games right from his house in front of a computer, in front of a big screen TV, and just pay-per-view Vernon Maxwell.
That would be him calling it on the internet would be incredible. Because if just let him go and call it like he would call it, don't worry about, you know,
no filter.
I would listen to games with him calling it. That'd be amazing.
I love that dude. I really do. And it was so fun playing against him just from a competitive standpoint. Because, you know, early on, we didn't know each other at all. And you kind of hate everybody that's not on your team anyway, especially if they're your position. And those were all just arrogant, stupid assholes. And so, but it was real fun playing against Vernon because he, you see how he smiles so freely. And, you know, something could happen off the court, cheerleader do something, and he would just start laughing in the game. So I knew that he had a really fun personality, but didn't, you know, and then was lucky to get to room with him in the Olympic stuff. That me, Ed Davender, Rod Strickland and Vernon Maxwell, that could be a 30 for 30, 5 days in Colorado Springs in a dorm together.
So. Oh, that's a good outro. I like it.
We'll do that on part two with Vernon.
Yes, yes. Safe travels, man. Heading out to Phoenix. You excited?
Yes, I am. Can't wait. Go Suns. You know what? Same time next week. You want to do it again, Josh?
I sure would like to.
Subscribe, rate, and review basketballnews.com. We'll be back next week with episode 17.